And this is segment 3 of Radio Free Redoubt. And this is our final segment here with Shelby Gallagher, the author of A Great State, giving her presentation at this weekend's Inland Northwest Preparedness Expo on the topic of women and preparedness. And so excellent presentation. This segment is brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate. We also got to see them this weekend. It was really great to see them. They are helping like-minded patriots get strategically relocated to the heart of the American Redoubt, and a little on the north side of the heart of the American Redoubt, by boundary or in Boundary County, in and around the panhandle of northern Idaho. So give them a call today if that's where you are considering moving to, SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com. Okay, and now, without further ado, here's Shelby Gallagher, author of A Great State, Women and Prepping.
All right, folks here at the Inland Northwest Preparedness Expo, and those listening now on Radio Free Redoubt podcast and live, I guess. That's fantastic. I am not John Jacob Schmidt, because he has a better radio voice than I do, but this will do. My name is Glenn Tate, and I would like to introduce my wife. Oh, that feels fantastic to say. Feels fantastic to say. My wife, Shelby Gallagher, the author of the Prepper book series, A Great State, and she is going to talk about women's perspective on prepping. And may I tell the gentleman listening in the audience something? Listen, guys, we hate chick flicks. Am I right? And what you're going to hear is a woman's perspective about prepping, and it's not going to sound like some movie with Jennifer Aniston and a dog, and they're reunited, and everybody, and there's a bunch of crying. That's not what we're talking about. Men, I think, get more out of this topic probably than even women do. Men need to understand 50% of the population, and women have a unique perspective, and Shelby can articulate it very, very well. And I'd like to introduce Shelby Gallagher.
Thank you. I'm going to ask you to stay close, Glenn, because we're married, and demonstration purposes. So let me ask this just for, first of all, welcome to the American Radio Free Redoubt listeners. It's kind of fun to know that you all are out there listening. Also, and we also have young listeners in the crowd here, which is great. Who here has read my book so far? Awesome. So that helps me to know how to gauge how I talk today. So I'm going to talk about prepping from a woman's point of view, and it's not going to be very many of you in this room. There's the two types that I'm going to be talking today, and they're very related, are those people that are not here at the Inland Preparation Expo. A single woman, single mom, who is a prepper. Yes, they exist. Yes. Or woman who is married to someone who is not supportive of prepping and is a mom. And typically speaking, especially the single mothers out there, this is what they look like. They don't live here in northern Idaho. They live in a city, a big urban city, because that's where jobs are that she can get. That's where she can get daycare. That's where she can get ready access to government programs that will assist her. That's who we're talking about. And those women want to prep. Why? Because they're scared to death. They really are, because of where they live. So I want to tell you about them, you'll hear more about the because, but because I believe we as preppers have a gospel message to share with them on how they can not be the victims that they could be in a collapse. So they will be the hardest, the reason why it's important, they will be the hardest hit. And I did a lot of my research, especially for my book on this. If you look at collapses around the world, the one that's happening the most, I pay attention most these days, is Venezuela. It collapsed financially about a year ago. It had been building up, but they had like 100 days of rioting in their capital state. Before that, Bosnia. When those happen, when there's this political economic collapse, and what is it that, like, you need to get a cup of coffee in Venezuela is like a year's salary, some crazy inflation amounts. Women are selling their children and themselves to feed themselves. Women are doing horrific things and making horrific decisions just to stay alive. They are the hardest hit. They're the easiest to victimize. And they will be coming, if there's that kind of a scale of a collapse here in the United States, and I'm with Glenn, I think it's a matter of time. I think we're on our way. I think ideologically we're split as a country. Numbers look good right now, but it won't always be that way. And I can tell you that the elections coming up are contentious because the left is fighting for, they want control back. We just bought time when Trump came into office. So those ladies, those women and their children are going to, we all know them. We all have nieces and sons and daughters and cousins that live in those cities that don't believe in prepping, or they're too busy. They don't think about it because the grocery store is right down the street, right? They have a 7-Eleven they can go get a pack of diapers from. They're going to come to your door when that happens, scared, penniless, traumatized and victimized and not ready for what just happened to them, what needs to happen. And they're going to suck you dry. I remember we were at a conference last year. The question and answer section of that was all dominated by, how do I tell that person who's not a prepper they can't come over when this all goes bad? You had your chance to prep. Well, these women they don't have a chance to prep right now. They're so busy just trying to keep the rent paid. So, next question is a question I get often. I bring it up in book two in particular. So there's your teaser. If you haven't read book one, read it because book two is coming out next month. Yes. Is who to allow into access to your preps when a collapse happens, and how to turn down those who don't. I bring that up a lot in book two. How you're the filter. This is things that you've worked hard. You've sacrificed for your preps. Are you just going to let the freeloader come in? Or where's that line of compassion come in as well? I want to try to help you with a different way to message with those folks that they can come to your door with skills and preps to add to your community and not take from your community. They can do preps in the city and come to you ready to go. And so two aspects of prepping that I want to talk about for these women. And it's interesting, I have to say, for those of you who were here yesterday, was there anyone here yesterday? I know you were, yes, a couple of you were. There was great feedback at the booth afterwards, and I want to, I kind of expanded on this a little bit because it was kind of fascinating how it turned about. So two aspects of prepping I want to talk about is self-protection, women. First off, you cannot convince a woman to be prepared to protect herself. You are not going to convince her to prep. I think they'd go hand in hand. If you live in a city, you need to be prepared to protect yourself. Most women are not. I don't want to carry a gun. You've all had those conversations. I don't want to carry a gun. They're scary. What if, I walk into a library and you're not supposed to have all those little things. If she doesn't want to do that, you're not going to convince her to put extra beans on herself. That's it. But I think they go hand in hand. If you're going to take on that, I'm going to protect myself and my children because things are getting scary. That's where I was at. I now also need to protect not just us here right now on a general, but also everything that I prep for. Because when you live in the city, and if anyone knows that you have stuff in your basement, they're going to come loot your house. And you need to be ready to defend your castle. So I defend myself a lot, and I'm not in a collapse. Because you have to. We should tell a story. Let me pick out one of the many stories. It's funny. We didn't talk about this yesterday. I kept trying to tell Glenn when I first got to know him, like, no, there's creepy people. I have an encounter with a creepy person almost every day. And he didn't believe me until he started hanging around with me. He's like, no, seriously, I am the
creeper magnet.
Yes, I am. Ladies, you know what we're talking about. It's those weird little micro moments of, oh, that was weird. And we just had one. We live in Western Washington. We just had one on the drive here. We're in the car. Glenn's driving, and I'm playing with my phone and, you know, selfies on social media to try to get you all to come. And I look up, and this camper goes by, and there's this guy. He looks like Billy Bob Thornton from that movie he did. Mm-hmm. Sling Blade guy at his window just looking down at me, and I looked up, like, what was that? And he goes, yeah, he's been checking you out for quite a while now. I'm like, oh, great. So then we go to a rest area. Guess who's there? And so Glenn, being the gentleman that he is keeping track of me. I need to go use the restroom. I need to walk the dog around. I need to watch out. My kid is here with us today. And he's watching out for me. My son comes out of the bathroom, and he even says to me, Mom, he's creepy. I'm like, I know he is. I got it. And this is what has to happen, and this is how I carry myself. I'm protected. I'm caring. We'll talk about that in a moment. Glenn's watching out for me. My kids, I got my dog, and I have to walk towards him. He's about 20 feet from me, and he locks eyes with me, and I stare him down. I lock eyes with him, and his eyes go down. I'm now safe. If I had looked down first, I then just showed weakness. You know what I mean? You're shaking your head. Yes. I walk around with that resting blank face a lot. I look mean, and I carry myself assertively because that's defensive. And I'm not a victim very often. But boy, those creepy guys are creepy. They're everywhere, and it's not a collapse yet. Imagine. So if you can't convince someone to fight that off, a woman to fight that off, I don't know what to tell you, but I believe you need to be able to fight those sorts of things off every day. So I believe in self-protection. What do I protect? My kids and my family. What types of protection are there? I believe in firearms. Somebody was here earlier, and I don't see him in the crowd. So funny. Do you carry a firearm, Shelby? Uh-huh. I sure do. So this is where I need his help. This is what's fascinating, I think, to men. It comes second nature to me because I've done a lot of research on how to carry a firearm all the time as much as I can. So here's the first thing I'm going to show you. I'm carrying a weapon right now. Can you tell? Nope. Good. That's the point. So I wore different clothes than I did yesterday. It was more difficult yesterday. So this is where I need Glenn's help. Can you hold the microphone?
Yes, I can. And for all our listeners on Radio Free Readout, you can't see any of this, but just kind of play along. So yes. Here we go.
Well, let me describe. I'll describe. So what I'm wearing, and I talk about this in my book, I'm wearing a compression holster. It's a vest. It zips up in the front, which is why I look a little bit lumpy in the front. You can't see that. And it's in the back. So I'm going to do a spin around so you can see the back. There you go. This is it.
And listeners, you can't really see anything, but there it is, a SIG in the small of her back. And it's easy to carry. And it's not terribly expensive. And boy, oh, howdies, does that pistol come in handy for the many creeper magnet encounters that she has.
There's also a knife back there, too, so just so you know. So that's I'm not going to give brand names because I don't get any endorsements, but if you want to know the brand name of that, there's also another one that I wear that's a corset that goes around my waist. And it has a pocket on either side, and I draw from the right side. These are great. They hold things very close to your body. The reason why women, I don't like belt holsters. One, I don't wear a belt very often because I don't wear jeans that often because I wear professional clothes a lot of time. If I put something on my hip, our hips just make things stick out. That just makes this firearm sticks out. The butt, it doesn't work. Compression is what works for me. Now, that's me. Other people wear things differently. I get that. But I carry all the time. Now, if I can't carry on me, I carry in my purse, which I hate to do, but I do because it's good to have something rather than nothing. Because this is what happens. My purse is right there. Bad guy comes walking in, and I'm like, sir, can you hang on just a minute so I can get my firearm over here? Because it's not within, I want it immediately on me. However, if I do have to carry my purse, I want to show you my purse because I'm very proud of my purse because I did a lot of research in it. So this is by a woman, actually, in Eugene, Oregon. I met her at a gun show. If you want to know who she is, I have the number and everything on here. I'm not going to tell you. For those of you who are listening, this is about a $125 purse, and this is solid, full-grain leather. And the holster is inside, and it's basically just a pocket. It's not a side pocket where you have to unzip and un-Velcro and pull something out of a holster. It's right there. The other thing Shelby carries in her purse in case she ever goes into, I don't know, a courthouse where they don't allow firearms, you can defend yourself with things other than firearms. And that's great for that person who doesn't want to carry a firearm. So this is what else. Let me show you my bag of goodies. This is police-grade pepper spray. This is not the stuff that just, like, mists in front of you. Don't do that because you will not like how this sprays in your face. This will spray up to 16 feet. So this will go about to where that power source is over there, our speaker. So here's what that looks like. Because, again, I'm the creeper magnet, right? I should start a hashtag or something. I run. I run to keep in shape. I run with this or the next thing I show you. Homeless, aggressive guy is coming at me. And I say to him this, and this works really well. This, ladies, feel free to use this. It has a 16-foot spray. You want to test it? Come closer. He stopped. And then I did test it just to make sure it did. But after he was gone, I did. I'm like, hey, I should probably test this every now and then. So there you go. So here's the other one. This is what I started doing afterwards. This is, I was corrected yesterday. I thought it was a taser. It is a taser. Tasers shoot. This is a stun gun. Sorry. I love this. I got this at a gun show. Are you seeing a trend here? Go to gun shows. That's where all the good gadgets are. This is a stun gun. It's a flashlight. Let's see if I can get the flash. There's the flashlight. That's very helpful when you run at night. Turn it on. Somebody's coming towards me. What I don't want is somebody right here. I don't want someone. I don't want someone who can take a swing at me. When I go running, when I'm out and about, I try to make it so that people are an arm's length away from me. If somebody comes near me, I tell them to back off. This is like carrying a firearm. This is a show of force. All I have to do is, I'm going to zap it, just so you know. That right there will make someone go, that's going to hurt. And it will. By the way, if you ever want some good entertainment, I'm kidding you not, this is really fun. Go to Tasers on Amazon and read the reviews. You're going to have your hand. I tried it. It really hurt. People are so stupid. It hurts. It's a point. Make sure it's charged, too. A lot of these come. They can also be phone chargers, just so you know. Those are the things I carry. The other things I carry here, I joke about this. This made me so proud. I was at an event recently with Glenn and the real Joe Tantori from his books, the actual Joe. And he's sitting behind me and my purse is right here. And we were outside, and he said, Shelby, he said my real name, and he said, your purse is going to get full of rain. And I said, I don't care. He goes, because right now it's full of pepper spray and a screwdriver and a taser, and let's see what else you have in there. So he was snooping, but that's Joe Tantori. So these are the things that I carry almost all the time. These are the things that you should, as a woman, carry. And I want to say this, and I said this yesterday, I mean it. I am 5'6" and 140 pounds. Most of the men in this room, if you come at me and it's a physical, just I'm taking you on physically, you're going to win. And it will be very violent. If you've not read my books, chapter 3 is a real chapter. I know this. It doesn't take much to overpower me. I'm an average woman. I need to make these decisions and carry these things so that if I have to go hand to hand, if I have to go at it with someone, I can level that playing field. It's that simple. I need to be able to take on violence. Here's a great story, and I would love it if I could find out who this person was. This just made me so happy. It happened a couple months ago in the Olympic Peninsula near Port Angeles. A woman out running is overtaken. Two men found her, came upon her, attacked her. She fought them off. For a woman and a runner without any sort, I'm assuming if she's running, she might have like a mace or something with her. She fought off two grown men. I wouldn't be surprised if one of them were high or something. So I say that because we as women need to be prepared to take on violence and to fight tooth and nail, draw blood, hurt, scratch, punch. That's the other thing. Well, ladies, learn how to throw a really good punch. And I'm not just talking a kind of a heel of your hand check, leave me alone thing. I mean, the physics of winding your body up, taking a step back, and throwing a punch and aim for the throat. You want to break bones in the throat when that thing lands, and you don't want to stop, and you want to carry it through as though you're punching the wall behind the person. Go to classes and take, to be the warrior. I say it all the time, be the warrior, be willing to defend. And this is not even, we're not even in a collapse here, but you need to be able to do that. And I say that to people, and I know that we're all from, y'all are from around here. This is what people are like in this city, but that's what they're like here. We now live in a rural community. We were talking to some of our neighbors who won't live that far from us, maybe a mile or two down the road. Creepy people come on their property. Oh my gosh, what was it she was saying? Some creepy guy comes driving up her driveway. This is in the middle of rural Western Washington. And she's telling him to stop. She's putting her hand up, stop. He's not stopping. She goes running to the house. He's chasing her in the car. And she's yelling at the house, get the shotgun. What? That already happens in the city. No, it doesn't. It happens everywhere. She was really mad she didn't have her firearm on her. I'm like, good on you, girlfriend. Anyway. So that's what we need to be prepared to do. And I hope, if you have any questions about what I have here, and what these are, this is my experience, this is how I carry, this is how I protect myself, happy to share with you. Can you hold your question till the very end? Is that okay? I know, sorry, because I'm going to talk about some other things. Okay. The next thing is that I work to protect is my family and all of the preps that I work on, because when the collapse happens, I need to be ready. So what does that look like? What does that look like for me when I first started prepping living in the city? 100-day food supply. It's hard to do in the city because I don't have the garden. I don't have all that. So honestly, I went to Costco and I bought their whatever 5-gallon bucket of 100 meals, freeze-dried meals. I still have that bucket, and it will last for another 20 years, and I'm ready for when that happens. And I've worked hard to put together that food supply for about a 90-day food supply for my family for that collapse. And I pick 90 for a reason. And I took a moment this morning, and I went through the book section, which is right on the other side of this wall. I encourage you to look at this for this is also training to give to that person that you know who lives in the city. 90-day food supply, that gives me 90 days to do something with my backyard or my property that I live on, my trellised patio, to grow something. I encourage all of us to know the seasons of our gardens, the three growing seasons, spring, summer, fall. What can you put in the ground when that collapse happens so that in 90 days you've got something coming up and growing? And if you do that, and I know I'm saying things that we all know, store those things. Find out how to store those things. And yes, in the city, people are going to come and take the fruit off your trees, and they're going to come steal from your gardens. But if you've done this a few years in a row, it's okay. You've got it stored in your basement. Picture this in the city. This is like really trendy right now in the city, this whole farm to table, this whole urban farmer sort of thing. All the progressives love it because they feel so good that they're getting a fresh egg out of a chicken that they have on their apartment patio. It's so strange. But seriously, that's a big thing in Portland. Living in Portland, I have chickens. I love the eggs. But they're a food source. So imagine telling your progressive little niece who's in college and she likes being trendy, chicken coop, rabbit hutch, have two fruit trees and a garden, food to table. She and your life can sustain her family in an urban environment. If you know someone who lives in that urban environment, that person, if they need to bug out, they're coming to you with resources. They're not coming to you panicked and penniless and without any resources. If you know someone who lives in the city, you need to start having those negotiations now. If there's a collapse, where are you going to go? And no, you can't come here, or yes, you can come here. That's the hard question. You had a hard question with one of your best friends, and he said, "Oh yeah, when this is a person who knows better. Oh yeah, when this collapses, I'm just coming to your house." And Glenn had to say, "No, you're not. I just put a lot of hard work and energy into all of this. You're not. No, you're not." That's a hard conversation to have, and he knows better. We all have those family members that, yes, you can come here, but you need to come with this, 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 and this. And I'll help you do that, but you need to do that now. And it's that gospel message that we've been talking about. Here's a really, here's an interesting one that I just was able to be very proud of recently. My father, when you read the books, he's Floyd in the books. He lives on the East Coast, and he lives near, about 2 weeks ago, you know, when we all were seeing the weather services projection of where Florence was going to go, about the lower half of the East Coast, and he is in that zone. He made a deal with a friend of his in another part of that zone. All right, if she starts going one way, we're all going to your house. If it starts going another way, y'all can come to my house. And they negotiated that. Bring your stuff and come here and hunker down for a week, or vice versa. It turns out my dad, Floyd, he was the one who had to go, and he hunkered down with a friend for a couple weeks. Luckily, his house is still intact. And for that, I'm very thankful, too. So negotiate those things, too. We don't have hurricane issues here, but we were talking about it yesterday. Mudslides, fires. Holy crow, fires. Eastern Oregonians, Eastern Washingtonians, you know this. We all know this. The fires are awful. And the thing about it is, and I think it's a shame, the media forgets about fires after they're out. Isn't that funny? Oh, yeah. Sonoma Valley, California, they're all better now. No, they're not. Do you remember those fires last fall? What was startling to me is the footage that came out of that. So many people turned on their phones as they're trying to just get out of the city, and they're just passing these high-density neighborhoods that are just flattened. Those people are still living in tents, and they haven't heard from their insurance company in a long time. Same with Hurricane Maria folks. Same with Hurricane Sandy folks. Insurance companies are slow. Insurance companies, for the folks in Houston, I just read an article recently, those people didn't have flood insurance. They have to rebuild from their own cash reserves. And many of them are living in tents in their backyards. That's normal. That's the new normal post-collapse. So when Glenn talks about, like he did earlier, what does a collapse look like? We're not in a collapse, us here in the Pacific Northwest. Houston still is. And they're going to be for a long time. Post-Sandy people, they still are. Some of us could argue there's still people that are in a collapsed state post-Katrina. So it's one of those things where I don't know what a collapse looks like, and I don't know when it happens necessarily. Those are all the kind of natural disaster ones. There's a really interesting article that I read, and I posted about a year and a half ago, about a woman who was in Ferguson, Missouri. Missouri, right? I know, we all knew what it was. Like, I can never get that town right. The riots that were happening around that whole Michael Moore, well, not Michael Moore, oh my gosh. I can't get names right. You know who I'm talking about. Michael Brown. She lives in the neighborhood where the riots are happening, and she describes how her neighbors have started to leave. Schools have been canceled. She's kind of hunkered down in her house. When do you go? I think a lot of us in this room, but I would have been left a long time ago. I would have found the family member in another state and stayed with them. And that whole when do you leave thing, I don't know. Unless it's a natural disaster, I don't know when to go. I don't know when it is. But I do know this, when it does happen, they're going to come to our doors, those of us who are prepared, and we have a really great opportunity now to have those conversations with them about protecting themselves now and getting in that habit and bringing resources. And making sure when you come, you're adding and not subtracting to what we're doing here. So I didn't do what I did yesterday. I sped through everything way too fast. So I was hoping I could give you guys some more things today. I want to open it up for questions as well. Are there any questions? I'm going to do what Glenn did and kind of replay the questions so that our listeners can hear. Are there any questions you have for me about the book, about prepping, about... Glenn, yes, you did have a question.
Your mace and your taser.
Yes.
When you go into a courthouse, do you have to leave mace and your taser?
Depends on the courthouse. Yes, most of the time I do. I honestly, I don't even want to walk up to the door and be turned away because I don't want them to know. So I will leave all that behind, yes. And I hate it. Here's an interesting thing. There's a courthouse I've gone to in Salem, Oregon. I keep a metal, my purse will save your life in a collapse. It is the Mary Poppins bag of preppedness. I keep a little credit card size metal tool that has like 12 tools on it. I go through the metal detector there, and the guy says, it's like buried in my wallet. You have to really look for it. He's like, you need to take that out. And I'm like, if you can see that in the metal detector, yeah, that was interesting. So he actually confiscated it. So, yeah, I did. After court. Yes. So, yes, don't take things like that to the courthouse. Yes, ma'am.
I'm just curious.
Yes. There you go. So the question was, she used to carry a Gun Tote Mama, which is a great brand of carry purses, and used to set it in the cart going to the grocery store. That's the hardest thing, isn't it? And then what happens is you start, oh, look, over here on this shelf, I want to look, and your purse is now 5 feet away from you. That's not good. And so you now carry with your purse on you at the store, right? You carry it on your body. Open carry. I carry one in the chamber. So the question was, she was, for those who are listening, her exact words, I think we can say this, she has been given crap by her non-prepping friends or
a lot of the male
friends out there about carrying one in the chamber. And I agree with you, the reason why she carries one in the chamber is because to unholster it, to rack it, and then have to use it is spent, it's time. And in that short amount of time, an attack can happen. And if you don't think these attacks can happen, go to YouTube. Look at live footage that's been taken off of cameras of women who are getting attacked. It is quick. So no, I carry one in the chamber as well because of that. Because that extra, and you're right, firearm up, I may not have my left hand to be able to rack it and that sort of a thing. So I agree with you. The faster you can deploy, the faster. Yes, sir.
I just think the thing maybe you should say to your women audience, yes. And since this is a women-centric mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And gentlemen, the audience made it very clear that overcoming, oh, it's the husband, very good. You can overcome all of those doubts and fears with good quality training in a day. And I agree with that. I've relocated. I no longer live in Portland. Praise Jesus. But because seriously, I was always on alert. When I'm out in public, I'm on alert. Where's the crime is huge in Portland. And so as a result, I would go to a gun class every month. I need to get back into that. But yeah, that's how you get rid of your fears. That's right now, going to be honest with you, this is a good example. I bought a SIG. That's what you just saw on my back. I carry a SIG. Why did I buy a SIG? It has a safety. I don't need a safety anymore. I know what I'm doing. I want a Glock. Kind of want a Glock now. I don't need the safety, but it's okay. You know what? I'm glad I carry a SIG because I got something, and that's okay. But now I feel more confident in my firearms training and my capabilities. I don't need a safety. There you go. Yes. Yeah, so, oh, and Glenn, here's Glenn.
Here's my question / statement. And the question is, you as a formerly single woman and in a bad place and with creepers all around, you obviously had to rely on yourself. Here's the question, then I'll make a statement before you answer. The question is, in general, if you are in a left-wing sort of place like Portland, can you count on men around you, or as I call them, males around you, to help you? And everyone's shaking their head no. And the point I'd like to make is, one thing that women can do if they have a husband or boyfriend who is in the picture, not necessarily a prepper, but you're a woman protecting yourself and there's a man in the picture, one of the things women can do to greatly increase their safety is to let their man know that it's okay to be a man. And that sounds simple and almost childish, but believe me, I've experienced this. And you have let me know that it's okay for me to have my antenna up and spot the creepy dude that you were mentioning earlier. And I think that even if the man in your life is not going to be carrying a gun and all that other stuff, hope he does, by the way, but even if not, a woman letting a man know that he can be a man, because here's the thing, I know that if I'm around you, and I make a mistake, and I think a guy's being creepy, and it turns out he isn't, you're not going to say, why are you such a jerk? Why are you, you know, like a jealous dope, and why are you being mean to people? There's no negativity. It's a team. You and I are a team. Even if I'm not carrying a gun, parentheses, that never happens, but even if I weren't carrying a gun, you've got to have the man and the woman as a team, because it's more effective, and quite honestly, it's important for men to know that they can be men, and if they think they can't, that's not good. So back to the original question, how much can you count on people around you to, you know, millennial males in Portland with man buns to jump in and save the day?
Oh, the examples. All right, so I'm going to give you two examples, and this is very common. When you're talking about those big urban cities with the man buns and the what's really funny is they all like to have this scruffy beard and a plaid shirt and tight jeans. You know who I'm talking about. They think they're really awesome because they look like lumberjacks, right? And yet you say, do you carry a gun? And like, oh, those are so scary. So let me give you two examples. So this is a couple of years ago when I was first getting to know Glenn Tate. He and I were at a grocery store. This is a funny story. And it was a sketch grocery store, but it's the kind of grocery store I like because you get really crazy good deals, and I really believe in prepping and being thrifty, too. So what had happened is I'm going down this aisle. He's one aisle over from me, and I kind of bump into this guy, and I'm giggling because he's making me laugh. We're laughing, and we're talking over an aisle. and I go around, and he and I are just joking around. And now this, and so we're still going through this store, and this everywhere we go, there's this guy. And he's creepy. And Glenn is being funny because he's funny. And we go through the checkout line, and we drop the big box of whatever it was he's bought, and the creepy guy is there. And I remember at one point, I'm down on my, like, hunched on my hands and knees, putting stuff into the cart, and there's the guy. And he's just kind of standing over me, and I'm like, all right, I'm ready to go at him with my elbow. This guy is, like, in my space. He's everywhere. And now I have to get to my car, and I don't want to be in a parking lot with him. And I'm thinking about all of these things, and he's just, Glenn over here is just joking. I don't think he, and at that time we didn't know each other very well. I'm like, I don't think he sees what I'm seeing. He doesn't know. I don't feel like, I don't have this person that can help me is what I felt. Like, we go out in the parking lot, this guy kind of fades away, and I'm like pointing, that guy is creeping me out. And Glenn's like, yeah, I know. And we get in the car and we talk about it. And it was this weird thing, and it's what you just spoke about. We didn't realize we could be a team because we're so used to having to do all of this by ourselves. I'm really looking forward to, because we have some good friends now that work on that very thing. As you and your partner, we're not used to this, so bear with us. This is not going to be news to some of you. You can do this together. You can tactically defend yourself together. What a concept. And we've had that conversation where it's like, all right, how to move and act tactically if there's any sort of attack. That's a cool thing. Talking about the millennial men, used to run a staff of millennial males in Portland, and three of them, to be exact. Oh, my God. And, yeah, here's a good example. We have a threat that is sent to our workplace. I am in charge, and I have, on my staff of these young men, I have invited them to go to the range. I have told them I will do a Groupon, whatever, and get us all some firearm training. I always love to go training, love it. These guys always turn me down. They know I carry. And then we have this threat come into our work. And one of them has the nerve to say to me, Shelby, how many rounds do you carry with you? Do you have his question really was, will you protect me? I said, I have enough to protect myself. I've led you to water, dude. I've tried to show you. If anyone comes in that door, you all, how pathetic is it that the three of you are going to be standing behind me, the almost 50-year-old woman who has tried to teach you how to protect yourself, and I'm protecting you? That's Portland. That's Seattle. That's Olympia. That's Eugene. That's Salem. That's the big city. I've done my best at that point. So that's part of the whole prepper thing. Don't come to me asking for me for my resources when I've done what I can to show you yours. So that one is the one that kind of gets under my skin a little bit, if you can't tell, because I'm like, I'm old enough to be your mother. Good grief almighty. What would you do if I were your mother? Would you protect her? Those are hard questions. Yeah, so there you go. Yes, ma'am.
So those of us who are really new to
this. Yes, welcome.
Good.
Very good. It's not necessarily safer. It's guns are safe because the owner has had training and knows what they're doing. A safety on a firearm is we are not at the range. I have one in the chamber. I'm not taking my firearm out. It's a little thumb catch that if I flip it down, it'll fire. Simple as that. And if you are new to firearm, that feels safe. And my mindset when I got it was, it's in here. I'm not going to accidentally brush it. I'm not going to accidentally fire it. That's why people feel like they have to have a safety on their firearm, that they're not going to do something accidentally with it. Because that's your fear when you're new. And that's okay. That's okay. We all agree, right? A Glock does not have that thumb safety. The safety is the operator who decides to pull. Well, I feel really much more safe about this. And I've been carrying a firearm now for 6 or 7 years. It's up to you what you want to do. What I suggest, and there's some great folks here in this crowd that I believe you are at this booth over here, that will teach you these very things. And I'm saying this very basically because we can get into all kinds of language. by the way, to answer your first question, a SIG is a SIG Sauer. It's a brand of a firearm. A Glock is a brand of a firearm. A GM is a type of a vehicle. A Ford is a type of a vehicle. So I'm using firearm language. Welcome to the world of firearms. I hope that helps. Does that help you? So, and please read my book, because I go through this very thing. You are Julie, my character, who's like, I want to carry a firearm, and you walk into a gun store, and you feel like you've walked into the militarized zone, and you don't know what, that one's pretty, you know? You don't know, and you walk into a gun, seriously, guys, we newbies walk into a gun store. If she runs into a jerk, and there's plenty of them in gun stores, she's not coming back. If she walks into a gun range and wants to try one of these, rents one of these firearms, and the guy is a jerk to her, she's not coming back. That can harm her. We need to reach out to these very folks and teach them what a SIG is, teach them what a safety is, and show her how to fire a firearm. Welcome! It's pretty. It's a small one. It's pretty. Nice. It's probably a good start. Here's the thing that I also say in my book, and I'll say it now. Fire it. Yeah. They can feel good. I talk about how firearms are like trying on jeans. Those look great on that model. I love those. And then you go and fire them. Like, this hurts. Women, it hurts sometimes to fire some of these. Shoot it. Go to a firearm range. Pay the money to have the instructor talk you through it. Welcome. So glad you're here. Yes. Yes. Yes, right over here in the corner, for those of you who are American Radio Readout, this is, we're talking to a newbie to the circle of firearms. Yeah, wonderful. Yes, sir. Yes, correct. So for those of you who are listening, the comment was, it wasn't a question, it's just like with anything new. You need to learn what you've got, just like you would a vehicle, just like you would a firearm, and help those who don't know. And teach and instruct and share what you know, because we've all been there. Yes, and I saw another hand over here. Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry, I didn't hear the first. Say the first part again. Great question. That's a great question. So what happens, women? We are unique in that we have this lovely gift from Eve that comes every month, right? I'm going to tell you right now, menopause is awesome. So there are some great, I don't know much about this. I do know this. This is what I do know, because I come to prepping from the couponing point of view. If you're a couponer, you can get all of that for free. The coupons are out there to make it so that you can buy those supplies for super, uber, uber free and stockpile them. If you watch the extreme, I remember once watching, that's where I got into prepping was couponing. Again, read my book. Watching the Extreme Couponing Show is what kind of got me started in that. And I remember watching how this woman was stockpiling, because that's the thing on couponing is stockpiling. Buy all those things that are super duper on sale and buy a ton of them so that you have them. Feminine products is the biggest one on that. And this woman's like, check this out. I have the shed full of whatever she had. And I've had a hysterectomy. Isn't that awesome? Donate it. Give that to a women's shelter, whatever. So first of all, women's products are super easy to coupon with. I'm just going to say that. There's also, and I haven't looked in this. What's that? It's the reason. There's reusable sorts of products too, and I don't know much about them. And I'm trying to be careful, because there's people out on the radio that we've just, or radio on the podcast, that there's some great products, I'm not familiar with them, that are reusable. That can be, there you go. And I'm starting to, I got one more question, then I'm running out of time. Yes, ma'am. I will tell you what the brand is. Yes. I would love to share with you my brand. And so if you're listening, if you are here and you don't have time to stay after, if you want to contact me, ShelbyGallagher321@gmail.com. You can go to my website, agreatstate.com. I'm on social media as well. So feel free to come talk, chat, hear more about. I encourage you to get on both. His website is 299days.com. Get on our email list. That's when we'll tell you books are coming out, events we're going to, that sort of a thing, so we can hang out and tell you more about what we've learned along the way, just like you. And I'm going to close it right there. I want to thank American Radio Redoubt and John Jacob Smith for having us. And thank you, Glenn Tate, and thank you all for coming.